Hey guys, this is Jennifer from the Shooter's Mindset, and we are live with episode 438. Got our co-hosts with us. Greg, how's it going?
It's going good. How about y'all?
Doing well. You had a match this weekend, didn't you?
Yep. I hosted my little NRL 22 last weekend.
That's fun. We didn't get to it, but we're gonna get to the next one, I think.
Registration's open.
All right, well, I'm not that proactive. It's not the week of yet. You know me, I'm always like last minute. Squeeze me in there.
I could always just sign you up. Didn't I do that before? And you're like, oh, I guess I'll
Yeah.
this weekend.
Wait to sign up. I'm already signed up. Our other co-host, Corey, how's it going?
I'm tired, Jen. I'm pretty tired.
How many matches did you shoot this weekend?
Last weekend, none. I went fishing and a boat motor died and I got to paddle. But the weekend before, I shot a match, so I'm good.
You had to paddle. Do you have videos?
Yeah. I have a picture of me pulling the boat like from the dock like a donkey. It was
You should post that so I can
pretty
like
fun.
that. Totally needs to get posted. All right, and our guest of the hour this week, we have none other than Justin Watts. How's it going, Justin?
The lady's pet and the man's regret. That's me.
I fully expect there to be a lively comments section this week. So
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure there'll
I
be
have
some.
no doubt.
Y'all ask all your questions in the live, and we'll ask Justin live whatever you ask him. So for anybody that doesn't know you, I know you've been on the show before and you're, pretty heavy in precision rifles, so most people know you. But if somebody doesn't know you, can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into shooting and kind of what you do.
Yes, my name is Justin Watts. I own Wild Boar Precision, and I'm also the J in JTAC, Precision Rifle Training. I've got another couple of businesses as well. I got into shooting in the Army. And when I got out, started doing training, opened up my range, and some PRS shooters started coming out to my range to train. And that's kind of how I got into it, and now I am self-proclaimed the best shooting instructor in the industry, backed up by fact. So that's what
Right.
I do for a living.
So how long have you been shooting?
20 years, close to it, about 17 years.
I mean, you don't have that much experience then, so
No.
nah.
Not a lot.
So, why are you the seventh best PRS competitor in Oklahoma?
I don't think seventh best. That's not accurate. I will yeah, people, I got a whole wall. I got a wall of shame at my range that when people tend to think they're better than me. I don't compete a lot anymore. And y'all are welcome because of it. I wouldn't say seventh best. There are definitely some better shooters than me in Oklahoma, but seventh, no. I have a wall of shame. If anybody wants to put some money up, and they'll have to sign it and go on the wall of shame. So,
Well, how many internet snipers have come and shot with you? I know, it's all the time. Oh, I could make that shot. I could do this. And people will say, well,
well,
put your
a
money where.
lot. A lot, yeah. So I had some a guy come down from we went so JTAC. We went to Wisconsin, did a 4-day class with the Wisconsin guys, and one of them came back and trained with me, and he saw my wall of shame, and he's at the end of the class. I said, "Man, do you have anything else?" He goes, "Yeah, I got a question." He said, "How bad do you want to lose a $5 bill, or how bad do you want to lose a dollar bill?" And I said, "All right. Let's do it." And so we had a shoot off and he lost. And he said, Okay, double or nothing. And so now it's for $2. And he lost again. And this time he's like, okay, $5 bill, $5 bill. And he lost a third time. And so I signed that and put it up on the wall. And then one of his buddies came back down from Wisconsin to train with me about a month later. And he said, hey, I wanna I want to bet you that $5 bill. And so Richard bet me a $5 bill. And I said, man, here's the problem. Like, we're gonna have to use your gun because I don't have my gun. And I said, but you know, the stipulation was no Kestrel. You had to make a win call just on your own. And he ended up losing a $5 bill as well. And so there's a bunch of people. Eric Savannah bet me I couldn't hit a golf ball at 300 yards with one shot. And again, used his rifle because I didn't have mine. And he lost a $20 bill. So it's signed on my wall. And I just got a whole wall just decorated of. I only take serious stuff serious when something's, you know, at stake. And I don't compete a lot. I usually shoot about 3 matches a year now, because I do mostly training, and I've got some other businesses that require a lot of my time. And I'm a, you know, single dad, so I have a lot of other priorities. I don't shoot a lot of matches, but I mean, I always go in the finale with a, you know, 290 something plus, and you know, I don't take the shooting part as serious as some do. I take the training. I like taking my students, and watching my students go out there and, you know, be the best in their region or, you know, win PRS bullets. That brings me more joy than my own trophy. I got too many trophies. I mean, I can't even have them all in the same room, so.
That is a first world problem. First world problem. Can't talk.
Yeah, some in the range, some are at the like in my living room, some are in my shooting room, some are in the shed. I mean, all those big checks, you know, those are on the wall, some of them are in the corner. I mean, at some point we wanted to do like a JTAC photo where all the instructors brought all their trophies and put them together for one picture, and everybody's like, dude, I can't haul all those. Like, I couldn't even fit all those in my truck. So yeah, it was a good idea, but we would need a semi.
So tell us a little bit about foul bore. For anybody that doesn't know, tell us kind of what all it is, and then what matches are you hosting there?
So foul bore precision is the longest and largest gun range in the state of Oklahoma. We have targets out to a mile. We have pistol and carbine bays. We host regional center fire and rim fire matches once a month. And then I host two national PRS matches a year, which is the Okie Showdown, which is my May match. And then we do something really unique called Silent Night, which is a gosh, you have to bear with me for a minute. I got braces and I have a little bit of a lisp. Silent Night is a suppressor only night match. It's shot in complete darkness. The same rifle that you would use for a daytime match, you don't need night vision or anything like that. The targets are illuminated, so the positions you shoot from are dark, and I light the targets up, so it's a really different match. It's really cool. Everybody's got glow sticks all over them, and it looks like a rave going on at night out there. It's pretty cool.
That sounds really cool. I need to come to that. I don't know if I want to come back to foul bore though, because last time I was there, it was very, very cold.
Yeah, it won't be cold. May and August, yeah, it's definitely not going to be cold. Cold is not used to describe Oklahoma, but for like 2 months out of the year. So,
Heard you were spraying for those stickers too. Heard you got rid of
yeah,
them.
we did. Yeah, it's expensive. It's expensive to spray for them things, but you can kill them.
I'm pretty sure that I now have stickers in my backyard from your stickers, because I'm pretty sure that I brought so many of them home with me,
That's
that
possible.
they germinated in my backyard.
It's definitely possible, but you can kill them. It's expensive. The chemical that we spray, it's called Reslon, the pre-emergent, and it's about $350 for a bottle, and that does about 5 acres. So yeah, it's very expensive.
Yeah, I need to get some of that and share with my neighbors so that it doesn't come back from them.
Yeah.
Someone had asked in the comments on your post about my bolt at
Yeah, Jared.
Palmore. Yeah, so the 2020 finale, PRS finale, was at Falmore, and
Yeah.
it was like nice the day that we arrived, and then it is like hell, but the opposite of hell, because it was like freezing cold wind. It's the only time I've ever dialed wind into my scope and just left it. Like, I mean, like 0.8 mils, just dialed it in and left it for every stage because it was so windy.
Yeah,
And
that's
at the
Oklahoma.
end, the match director, you know, that mean old Justin Watts, was like, if I can see the targets, you're gonna shoot them. I don't want to hear any complaining. And so we got down the ladies squad, we got down to the very last stage, which arguably all day we had been able to see them all. So we get down to the very last stage, and it was off of a car, and there was a car out there that had four targets around it. And it got so bad that like you legitimately couldn't see them. And we're all on glass, like I don't know how ROs would even see the targets. And so we called you over, and I was the next shooter. So I had put my gun down while we were discussing. And we came up with a plan because you couldn't see all of the targets. You came up with a plan that wasn't going to alter anything. And so I finally get to go shoot, and they say engage. And I go and I put my gun on the hood of the car, and I get behind it and I find my target, and I go, and the bolt would not move. And I was like, what? What's going on? And I ended up having to come off the gun and like punch it to get it to go because it froze open. It was so cold.
Yeah, you probably had some grease or something, or some kind of lubrication on your bolt, CLP or something that will freeze.
Well, it was actively snowing, so I think it got snow in it.
It probably did. It
It
was
was
not a great time for
no, that's
sure.
why you couldn't see the targets because it was like whited out. But I ended up
Yeah,
cleaning the stage, so
pretty
I
sure. Yeah, like I said earlier, Regina Milkovich, she's probably still not talking to me to this day over that. So. Her fingers were so cold. She's like, I literally have frostbite and we're still shooting. I'm like, yeah, sorry.
there were a lot of
And
guys that
if it wasn't the finale, I would have called it, but it was the finale. I mean, and not everybody had shot the same course fire, so I just had to keep going.
So,
Push through it.
you've gotten into MMA recently. Tell us about some of
Yes.
your bouts. What's a bout?
About a match, a fight, bout,
Gotcha. Tell us about some of those, and what is your next big one?
Man, I don't know. I got into, which sounds crazy. I got into doing MMA because my body can't take jiu-jitsu anymore. Competition, which sounds
Go on.
ridiculous, but
What?
you can control the fight. From your feet, you can control the pace with a jab. You know, you can stay on your feet, kind of control the pace of the fight a little bit better. And you're fighting one person. Whereas if you go to a jiu-jitsu tournament like an IBJJF or an AGF or something like that, you may be grappling 8 or 10 guys in a day, and my body cannot physically take that anymore. I mean, I left the Dallas Open in 2022. With two gold medals around my neck, and I couldn't even take my clothes off. I couldn't move. I had to go to the hospital. I mean, it's like, what did I win here? Nothing. Nobody wins in a fight, right? So, I got into to MMA because I figured either I'll do A super fights, which are like just a single, you know, grappling matches. One person, one and done, either win or lose, or MMA in a cage because my body can take that. I can't do it 6 or 7 times in a day. I can do it once a day. I'm just getting too old, and you know, I just wanted to be better. And since I've gotten braces, you know, I was worried about, you know, getting in the cage, but they made me a special mouthpiece that's supposed to protect my braces. And I messaged the fight promoter Summer this morning about it, and she said that she thought it didn't see anything in the rules where I couldn't fight with braces, so as long as my, you know, braces were covered. So I think I'm just kind of waiting to see something that opens up, and then I'll take it and get in the cage. So we'll see. The last one ended up not getting paired up with the same guy that I was supposed to, just because we were so far apart on weight, and ended up getting paired up with another guy, and it ended up getting the win, and I was like, well, that's gonna be my, I'm done, and now I'm like, well, I can do it again, obviously, kind of like, winning the golden bullet, and it's like, you should stop. There's nowhere to go but downhill, And it's like, well, I can maybe win another one, and then what, I should probably stop, but I don't know. I like just keep pushing myself, and I enjoy it, and I don't know.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How old are you?
35.
Okay. So like about, I would say 4 years ago, like that I had to stop doing judo because of exactly what you're talking about. Like Monday through Thursday practice, Thursday I would have to roll out of bed sideways and put my feet down to stand up.
Yeah.
It ain't worth it. I promise you,
Man,
dude.
so I'm already like that. I'm already like that, but it takes me a while to get warmed up, but I do wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and MMA, so
Yeah.
it's I like it. Do I want to, I mean, I can go spar, I can go train, grapple for 2 hours, no problem. And I'm fine. It's going to jiu-jitsu tournaments that get me, because like anybody who's ever done any kind of like grappling or sparring or anything like that, like practice is one thing, training, but when there's like gold on the line, like they're trying to tear your limbs from your body, like they're
Oh yeah, I've
giving
done
you
it.
they're trying to kill you. And so man, you do that 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times in a day, my body just can't take that anymore. So I know it may be nonsense when I say like MMA is better, just because I can control the pace. Once you hit the ground, like there's no controlling the pace at that point, really, unless you're good at wrestling, and staying in control. But it may be stupid, and it may just be in my head, but I feel like my body takes less damage doing that than it does grappling for 7 or 8 guys in a tournament.
I'll agree with you that the vast majority of tournaments I went to, I felt way worse than a week of practice.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, like you can still progress in all of this, but man, the recovery after the tournament, it does not get any faster.
Man, I always like sometimes I'll feel like, I'm getting too old. And then like one of my coaches, Tyson Southern, if anybody follows Tyson Southern, he's just a freaking animal. And he's 40, maybe older. I think he's at least 40. And like, man, he makes it kind of hard to say, oh, I'm too old, because I mean, he just goes out there and just does it. And any fight, doesn't matter. He'll get in the cage, he'll get the boxing ring, he'll get on the jiu-jitsu mat. Like he doesn't care. He'll fight anybody anytime. He's always ready to go. And I mean, it's like, stop being a little bitch, Justin. When I don't want to get out of bed, or I don't want to go train, and I don't know. Always, anytime I don't want to go train, there's an old saying, somewhere out there, he is training while I am not. And when we meet, he will win. And I always, due to that, I mean, anytime I think like I'm too tired to go lift weights or go to the gym, or I'm too tired to go spar, or I'm too tired to go train, I just tell myself, like, you just go. Like, the fact that you're trying to convince yourself not to go means you have to go. And
For sure.
I've got some really good coaches. I train with the guys at Alpha MMA. I train with the guys at the Forge in Oklahoma City. I'll go to a couple different gyms, but my main gym is Alpha MMA. And those guys over there, like, they're just some killers, man. And like, I don't know. They push me to be better. And if I want to do private training, like they'll make time in their week to, because my schedule's crazy. So a lot of times, I have to like do private training, and like they'll make time for me, and I spend as much time as I can in the gym, in the MMA gym or in the like weightlifting gym, just trying to stay in good shape. And I think it's better for my mental health and physical health to just stay.
Oh, I agree with that. And if it keeps you motivated, like, then keep doing it. But anyways, tell us about Thud Life, other business.
So Thud Life Outdoors, that's my shoot, my hunting outfitter. We do deer, ducks, turkey, wild hog, thermal hog hunts. We've got a hunting lodge on a 32-acre lake. I've got a lot of land, leased, and basically, like, I would say most weekends out of the year, I've got hunters. Whether it's ducks or deer or turkey, I've got turkey season's coming up here in 2 weeks, and I've got hunters booked out. So,
How's the turkey season looking for y'all?
man, it's good. Yeah,
Good.
it's looking
Okay.
good. I've got some big toms, and my hunters will be, if they can't kill a turkey, man, they got to find something else to do.
Okay. Is that
So.
mostly habitat or is that predator control that you're doing, getting the turkeys? Because I know the Southeast is having issues with both.
So, man, we hunt turkeys just to, what do you mean? Like the turkey population going down?
So if you've got a healthy population, right, it's more than likely one or the other or both. But I know the Southeast is struggling in general right now. Because they basically the population blew up, predators came in, it kind of rebounded a little bit. But I know you
So
do a lot of coyote hunting.
we kill a lot of coyotes, not as many as, again, man, if you want to, if you love something and you want to hate it, make it your job. Shooting, I
That's
used to love to
true.
shoot matches. I used to love to shoot. I used to love to hunt, man. And then I took all those things and made them my job. So I don't hunt as much as I used to. We used to hunt like coyote tournaments and stuff, and we killed some coyotes. But man, so when you get, like you said, you get a healthy population, your predators grow. It's an ecosystem. But I would say predators are not really coyotes and bobcats are the main concern for turkeys. The main concern is wild hogs and the fact that nobody coon hunts anymore. You just don't. When I was a kid, every night on a back road, you'd see coon hunters, and nobody does that anymore. Well, those coons, they get in their nest, and then the hogs will find their nest, and they eat the eggs, and that's what happened to the quail. I think here in Oklahoma, we used to have lots of quail. Now you don't see much quail, and I mean anything that does survive, yeah, they have to worry about coyotes and bobcats. But I think the biggest problem is the wild pigs and the raccoons and stuff, skunks.
Yeah, and you've been putting a herding on the
Yeah, we killed. Yeah.
pigs. What's y'all's biggest
So,
one so far?
man, the biggest one I weighed, and we had to kill some big ones. The biggest one I weighed is we entered that it's like a $250,000 Wise County hog tournament in Texas. And we entered that. It's $500 per team, and we killed a 292, and I was like, man, if it's not over 300, we're not even gonna take it down there. Because, and I think 312 or something won it. But I mean, we killed some big ones. We just kill a lot. I just kill a lot of pigs. I get that thermal drone up in the air, and especially right now, the leaves haven't started growing back on the trees a lot. And there's not a lot of canopy, so there's nowhere for them to hide. And when I get that drone up in the air, it's game over. Like they can't hide. And I put my AirPods in, and I can, either myself or one of my guides will use the drone and guide us in. Basically an eye in the sky will guide us right into the pigs, and we can just, as long as my shooters can shoot, we'll kill a bunch.
Can y'all use drones? It's only for pigs, right? Can y'all, you can't use it for coyotes or anything like
Next question. First off, lower your voice.
Fair enough.
No, I don't know. I'm not going to ask.
So along the lines of hunting, I'm sure you get a lot of guys that come in. And this is kind of a loaded question because of who you are, but like, do you think precision rifle competition is valuable for hunters? Because we get the reply
Absolutely.
back all the time, like, there's X million hunters buying X million rounds of ammo, and there's like 5,000 PRS members. Why does
Yeah.
PRS matter? And that's kind of where that question comes from.
Man, I'm in the right. I mean, it's like
Yeah.
when, I'm a loophole shooter. And we complained about where the windage mark is on the loophole, and the PRS shooters don't like it. And loophole said, hey, what, when you spend $6 billion a year, like the military doesn't, we'll give a shit about where you put the windage mark. It's like, yes, us PRS shooters, we do matter. They do matter to companies. Obviously, these companies are supporting, Loophole, Vortex, all these companies. Obviously, you have a rifle in the background. You got a lot of sponsors. They do care. Federal, they care about you, but federal doesn't care about you as much as they care about their hunters, because they would go out of business. I
Oh, for
mean,
sure. I mean,
you talk about millions of people versus 5,000 people or 20,000, however many shooters we have in the sport, I don't even know. But I mean, that's their number one priority. When the ammo shortage hit, I mean, their main focus are NATO rounds, 9mm, 223, and then your hunting calibers, and then your 6.5 Creedmoors, your 6 Creedmoors, and stuff like that. Like, but to answer your question, yes, if you are a hunter and you get into the sport, it will make you better. It has in fact made me so good that I won't even hunt with a rifle anymore. I bow hunt only, because it just took the fun out of it. I mean, when I can, kill a buck at 750 yards, he doesn't even know I'm there, kind of defeats the purpose of hunting him.
Fair enough. I mean, I guess my thought is that if we could get through to 2%, right? Say, hey, you can do this in the other 5 months of the year when there's not anything to hunt other than nighttime hogs or, coyotes all the time. I think legitimately you could really change hunting in a positive way where you're not getting so many wounded animals. You're getting way better recovery, way better meat.
Yeah, I
I just
agree.
feel like it's such an easy sell for a guy to come out to a PRS match and improve
Even at
his hit percentage.
club level, yeah. If they just come and shot club matches, and or even just took a class and some training, you don't even have to like go shoot competitively. Like, just training. I get a lot of guys who come down and do training with me, and they're just trying to be better marksmen. They don't care about competing. They just want to be able to kill stuff at distance, or hit targets at distance.
Yeah, you guys have done a few hunter only classes, right?
Yeah, we did. We predominantly do only competition classes now, or advanced classes, just because we all got so busy, and we're in negotiations with like government contracts as well. So we'll see where that goes. But a lot of people don't know this, but most all the JTAC instructors also do privates as well. So, like, if some people are intimidated by coming to a JTAC class, because there's other people there. I book classes. I have classes booked into June right now, for myself. I know Clay does private lessons. So does Austin. I don't know if Bushman does, and Tate probably wouldn't. He could. He's just really
He
busy.
could easily,
He could,
definitely,
oh yeah,
but
for sure he could. But he probably wouldn't. But I mean,
no.
if somebody wanted to, train with us, I have training again booked into June right now. So, yeah, definitely
Solid.
gonna take a
Well,
class.
I would definitely take another class with you.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm gonna say I'm probably, would I say I'm the best JTAC shooter? No. I am the best instructor, and the JTAC students are the best students out there. It's not up for debate. It's a fact. I mean, you look at all of our students. I mean, even Cale Harmon winning a golden bullet. Prior to that, I mean, for the last 5 years, either a JTAC instructor or a JTAC student has won the golden bullet. And like Kyle McCormick, come out of nowhere, picked up his sixth place bullet this year. He's one of my students. I mean, he's trained JTAC, he trains with me privately, he trains with Clay some. I mean, like when I had we went to Wisconsin and did the 4 day class, we took 40 students up there. When they did that, it was like their top 25 at the end of the season, like 23 of them were our students. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, when you look at like the matches that have been won by one of our students and just the success level from like Brett Files, I think his best finish was like 79th place or something, and he come and trained with me, and then his next match he won top am in like 31st place or something. I mean, it was like a 50% jump or higher. I mean, it's
It's
there's just
definitely a
so
shortcut.
much. It's a shortcut for sure. And there was a point where us as JTAC instructors were like, hold on a second, like now, like we're getting beat. It was like we got beat by our own students that had never remotely come close to winning a match, and then all of a sudden for a few matches in a row there we're getting beat by our own students, and we're like, hold on a second here, like maybe we shouldn't be teaching this stuff. And we all decided, like, you know what, like it is what it is. If we can't beat them at their best, then we don't deserve to beat them. So let's train them up and we'll see where this JTAC thing goes. And it's obviously, taken off. And now we've had to add another instructor, Austin Bushman. It's we just did one, I don't know, 2 weekends ago or something. And it was a really good class.
Nice.
Yep, I know one of my good friends came up for, I guess it was the last class, maybe the one before that. Heidi.
Heidi, I love Heidi. She
Is
is the
she?
sweetest thing ever. Yeah, and she's awesome. She did really well. Her fundamentals, like I normally have to ride people about the trigger pull and their fundamentals, and I didn't have to say anything to Heidi.
She is a
She
straight machine.
is a machine. Yeah, and she's what, like 5 foot and 100 pounds, 50, 90 pounds. I don't know. She's tiny and lugging that 30 pound rifle around. I mean, yeah, she did good. She was one of our better
100%.
students.
She's 100% spunk, though.
Yeah, she's spunky.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
I love Heidi. I
Yeah.
still think we need to get her on for a show.
That would be
Yeah.
fun. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, she was super nice. And I guess, she took a lot from the class, from what she said. So I'm hoping that, she said that she, I think she said she did very well in her region for her regional matches. And so I think she said either top 10 or top 5 in her region. So I'm like, Heidi, you're going to be winning these freaking your regional matches. So I'm eager to see how that pans out.
Well, I guess I'll find out on Saturday.
I hope she beat you.
Oh, dude, there's no doubt.
Okay.
She will
Yeah.
absolutely whip my butt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she has like she practices. She's disciplined. She goes to trainings. She works on the fundamentals. I wait until the last minute. Eventually, everything ends up inside of the truck. Hopefully, the right gun for the right match, and like I go bang a lot.
Yeah. Close enough.
So we're about at the midpoint of the show. Remember, you're watching us live on Facebook. Ask any questions you may have in the comment section of the video. We'll ask it live on air. Other ways to catch us, you can always check back on the Shooter's Mindset Facebook page. Videos stay up there forever. We usually upload to all the podcast apps the night after the show. Then finally, everything eventually ends up on the Shooter's Mindset YouTube page. So that's a great place to check out past app episodes. So back on the JTAC stuff. Do you guys have any new classes coming up anytime soon? Places
We
where people
do.
can check them out.
We do. We have a class in May the 17th, 18th, I think. That one may be full. I'm not sure. And then we have one in August and one in September. And those, I'm not. There may be spots available. I'm not the guy for that. That's an Austin question, or a Clay, question. I don't know. Definitely, we definitely sold out this last class, and I thought the May class was full. I'm not entirely sure, but just only when we find out.
And then
Good
you
news,
also said
everybody.
you guys added another instructor as
Yeah, we
well.
added Austin Bushman this past year. We added him just, when you we actually cut down this we so we started with 20 students per class, and then we cut it back because we felt like that was too many students. So we cut it back to 16. And then we have people waitlisted for classes, like the UK guys that were wanting to come to this current class. We had to waitlist them, and I think they ended up signing up for the May class. But we ended up bringing on Austin Bushman because obviously, Austin Bushman is, one of the best out there. He's an Okie. We weren't sure, because just because you can shoot doesn't mean you can teach. And so we brought him in, like, hey, let's see how this goes. And his first class, I mean, he blew me away. I mean, like, he just followed our lead, and just, man, he just never missed a beat. Like, just came in and just went with the flow, and he crushed it, honestly. And so this is our second, this last one we did was our second class with Austin, with Bushman, and it was a good class. I mean, he's very analytical. He's good at taking his notes, and if he doesn't know something, he'll just tell you, I don't know. He's a good asset to the team.
Love Austin Bishman. He cracks me up. Is he teaching how to get four rounds off in a short pass mover like he did at AG Cup?
Yeah. No, definitely not. That's a worst case scenario thing, I think.
Way he kind of got dared on that one. He
Yeah.
did three and then they were like, oh, but can you do four? Can he get four in? And he couldn't help himself, and he did
Yeah.
it. It was
Yeah. No,
impressive.
he's already impressive. I mean, he's a right-handed guy. He's got, obviously he's got one fake eye, and it's his dominant eye. So he learned to shoot on his weak side, and he shoots left-handed, and his non-dominant eye. And I mean, he does it very well, obviously.
So Philip asked a question about where the classes are being held at, and also like 99.999% of people watching, they know what the JTAC classes are. But can you give like a quick like 2 minute, what is JTAC? Where are the classes? Why do you want to take those classes versus other classes?
Sorry, man. I got my ADHD. I'm staring at my biceps, and this camera makes me look good. Dang it. I wish my mirror looked like this at home. I went to the doctor. She said I was morbidly obese, I think is what she said. I don't know. My ears aren't that good. So the JTAC classes, we host some of them in Leedy at Clay's Range, and then we host some of them in at my range. So we like flip-flop back and forth. This next class is at my facility. And what JTAC is, JTAC stands for Justin Tate, Austin Clay, and now it's Justin Tate, Austin, and Clay. But which still works, I
Nice.
guess. But
Nice.
so basically, a lot of us were doing training. And the reason we kind of started this JTAC thing is so we weren't really fighting over students. I mean, we're all Okies. We're all some of the best to ever do it. I mean, like I said, the Golden Bullet stayed in Oklahoma for 4 years straight. And before that, Matt Rousseau had it for, 2 years in a row. And instead of fighting over students, we just thought, hey, what if you just put all of us together and you have, some of the best to ever do this in one spot, and we'll put a training program together and see where it goes. And so we started doing we were going to do beginner and advanced, and we're like, hunter, and then like a beginner and advanced, and we sell out these advanced classes so much that it's really all we've been booking. And basically, we like it that our students have already shot matches before. It's not required, but you definitely a lot of you definitely still learn a lot, but we like it when our students have, shot before.
Yeah, it
So
helps.
it helps, right? So they kind of know like what we're talking about when you say a troop line or a TYL
Yeah.
or making corrections on the clock. And we have a class curriculum. We spend about half a day in the classroom, and then we go to the range, and then we split up in groups, and we cover, wind and, shooting off your belly, and then we cover positional shooting. Two of us will cover positional shooting, and two instructors will cover, something else, and then we basically do that for half a day, and then on day two we kind of just flip-flop, and then we'll do that the same thing we did in the afternoon on day one. We'll do that the next morning, and then we'll break for lunch. We feed our students steaks, and then we go back to the range, and then we kind of do we have like different stations. Like we can, some students choose to do like a mini match. We'll get like a group of 10 guys that'll go shoot a match against each other and kind of real live coaching. And then we have some people that they strictly just want to focus on positional shooting, to getting better at that. So they'll spend the rest of their class time doing that. And some people work, just want to work wind and shooting off their belly. And so we kind of break up. So we have five instructors. We can break up and do different things. And it's been very successful.
Yeah, so I want to just emphasize one small point that you glossed over. Clay's dad's steaks aren't just steaks. Like, they're
Yeah.
top two to three steaks I've had in my life. They're
Yeah,
really good.
yes. Yeah, Tina is a great cook, but she is the second best cook in that household. Lynn can definitely throw down. No, I mean, I've had some really good steaks, but I don't know if I've ever had one that good. I mean, that man can cook some steak, and his burgers too. I mean, he just makes a really good burger. I'm always on a diet, so I love it when we go there because he always makes some sort of meat and something I can eat. So I like it.
So what do you see is the key to growing long range competition? I feel like that is a loaded question because everyone's trying to grow the sport and everybody has different ideas. So I always like to hear everyone's.
Well, I mean, to me, and again, my opinion varies, but I think keeping, a lot of people, the cost of getting into this is what really hinders a lot of people, and the intimidation factor of matches. That's why my club level matches, I have a really good like group of shooters that shoot my matches. They're willing to help anybody, and I'll have people come out and they say, "We just want to watch." And I'm like, "No, don't come watch. Come shoot."
Yes.
And I will pair you with some people, and they will help you. I have not raised my prices from the day I opened my range, just as a public range. Period. My range fee is $30 a day. Or 300 for the year, and I have not raised those prices not $1 since the day I opened almost 9 years ago. My match fees have been the same. I haven't raised my PRS matches, my center fire regional matches, my rim fire matches. I've kept all my prices the same. I didn't up them. A lot of match directors have upped their prices, and it just continues to climb. And I mean, shit, it's already hard enough to go. You're already spending $1,000 no matter how you
Yeah.
swing it to go to a 2 day match. It's hard to do that, and that's why a lot of people back down went back to the regional level, especially with ammo being hard to find. People went back to the regional level to shoot just so it's affordable. I mean, I think growing the sport, we gotta, I mean, Leupold, Vortex, a lot of these companies make affordable optics that, like, I mean, you could take a less than $1,000 scope and do just fine. Like, you don't have to
Oh
have
yeah,
a
absolutely.
Night Force Attacker or a Tangent or something. I mean, Leupold makes a cost efficient scope. Vortex makes cost efficient scopes. I mean, there's all these other scope companies out there that Athlon Optics, stuff that make these scopes at an affordable price, and there's real production rifles out there. I mean, I don't want to get onto the topic that
Go
strike
ahead,
a nerve
say
with
it.
me. That
I'll grab one out of the closet, Justin. Say
don't go pull out your $5,000 production rifle. I don't want to see it. We talked about this on our last podcast,
it's a
and
great point, though. There are real production rifles.
there are real
And
production rifles out there, and there's real like affordable scopes that you can get into the sport. And I mean, unfortunately, you're going to be competing even in production class against somebody shooting a custom rifle. But you can still get into the sport and go shoot production. And
And when you started, right, fixed 10 was still a thing, right? Now we
yes.
have like 1-10 optics that, I mean, glass quality is unreal, like
Yeah.
unbelievable compared to when we started. And
Yeah.
you've got a 7-35. You could probably get the 5-25 series now under 1,000 and still have probably on par glass with what y'all started in the fixed 10.
Probably better. Probably
Right.
better glass.
Like,
Yeah.
and you're shooting most of the time 15 power, maybe. Like, it's not
Yeah.
like you need 35 all the time.
No,
So,
I set mine at my loophole's got a mark at 17, and I leave it there for the entire. I don't ever touch that thing. I don't think I ever touch my knob the entire match. I know some people do. I don't. But I mean, yeah, I think growing the sport, we got to have we have to grow the sport, right? So, you know, taking people under your wing, get them to go shoot a match, you know. Because some guy at your range that's like a little nervous about it, like, talk them into going with you, and just take them under your wing, and hell, let them shoot your rifle if you need to. I mean, there used to be like an old cliquey kind of mentality to this sport, I thought, when I first got into it, and I think that's pretty well gone away. I mean, this is probably one of the best sports I've ever like been in as far as the people go. Everybody seems to be willing to help, and at the end of the day, I know Shannon Kay said it, a few years ago, and not every everybody agrees with stuff that Shannon says, but I know me and Shannon have all had our arguments, but he said at the
No.
finale, at the finale, he said, if you judge your character on how you shoot a precision rifle, you have your priorities messed up. And that stuck with me. And I tried to, because I kind of was really driven at like, I have to be the best, I have to be the best. And I realized like, hey, even if I don't win, like everybody still loves me, and they love my personality, and when I did win matches, or when I do win a match, like that's just something better. But like, I have a really big name in this sport, and it's not because I'm the best. I'm one of the best, but I'm not the best. There's a lot of better shooters out there than me. I have a big name because of my personality, and
And
I think that,
hair gel
yeah.
helps.
Yeah, that's what I told Greg when we first started earlier. I was like, man, the last time I was on this podcast, I think the only thing that's changed is my hairline. Which is fine. I'm getting older, but I don't care if they turn gray as long as they don't turn loose.
Kind of along
I got some gray
the
coming up.
same. Oh, you can just brush it.
Nah, it's salt and pepper. I think that's in right now, so.
So along with what Jen was asking, like growing the sport on your other side of business, on side life, how do you grow hunting and specifically youth?
Man, so I honestly, when we first started, I used Facebook, like the marketing on Facebook. You can pay the thing, and it'll boost your post, and we did that a lot. And I thought, well, even if it gets us one hunt, it's paid for itself. And I haven't done a lot of marketing for that. I sponsored some fighters. I sponsored Tyson Southern, just one of my coaches. I sponsored him, and another fighter, Kelvin Rayford. I've sponsored some, little league teams and stuff like that. And we've done a lot of sponsorship stuff and like giving stuff away, and it's kind of got our name out there. But I haven't done a lot of advertising. I mean, I've done like a TV commercial or anything, or I think word of mouth has spread, and then I just kind of let Facebook do its algorithm thing, and then we just, I don't know,
yeah,
put money into it, and it gives me people.
Yeah, kids are always on the phone, so I mean, if they see it, it's probably going to be on social media these
yeah,
days.
Yeah, and I do cool shit too. So like if you watch some of our videos, our drone videos and stuff like that, we do. I'll make some cool videos. Well, not me, obviously, because I'm not the. I'm not the video guy, but I will have videos made, just doing cool stuff, and you know, it's promoted itself, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of
I don't know
the,
that I want it to grow anymore.
Yeah, a lot of the thermal, especially like video quality, like we were talking about with optics earlier,
yeah.
Video and recording. Like, could you imagine using thermal 20 years ago, being able to say, yeah, I'm just going to live broadcast this from my phone? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember being in Iraq looking through thermals, you know, and thinking, like, this is the craziest shit I've ever. Like seen in my entire life. And then, you know, you come back and, you know, I get back from, you know, being in the military, being overseas, and you're like, oh yeah. Like my uncle's got one of those. I'm like, no, there's no way. There's no way he's got one of
those.
Yeah. Like this is like a, you know, classified thing that the military only owns. It's like, nah, like he kills pigs with that. And I'm like, what? And they're like, hold on. So then that's when I got into thermals, and that was probably like, I don't know, 8 years ago, probably. And yeah. Now we kill, I mean, I killed 200 and something in a month. It just, me and Tate and Glenn Knutson killed like 60 something in one night. We actually ran out of ammo, and Glenn, I have a video of it. Glenn Knutson actually stabbed one. Yeah, that man had a fixed bayonet because he ran out of ammo, and there were still pigs running around our feet. It was crazy. So
what is your favorite animal to hunt?
Flip tail.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Man, I don't know. Got into hunting duck. Once you've hunted people, man, it's kind of hard to want to hunt anything else. Probably ducks, I think, is probably, I burnt myself out on pigs and coyotes, so probably ducks.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I do have something I need to tell you guys about a new app device that's coming out. It's actually Clay's. It's called the JTAC Shot Timer. It's in beta testing right now. I believe he said, you know, in the near future. He didn't want to put an exact date, but you know, maybe the next few weeks, hopefully. But it is a shot timer that you download in the Google Play or the Apple Store, and you can attach it to, you know, your Google Watch or your Android Watch or your Apple Watch, mm-hmm. I mean, or your Android Watch, and you Bluetooth it to your headset, or the watch can play the sound by itself. But you shake it,
okay,
and you can adjust the sensitivity. You shake it to start your timer. So, you know, when you have your rifle in your bag in your hand, you can adjust the sensitivity so you can just barely bump it, or you have to shake it really hard, or, you know, kind of however you want to set it. And you can either hear this in your muffs, or it'll play the sound from the watch. But it'll give you you can set it. There's a bunch of different settings. You can set it to give you, you know, how, you know, if you want a 30-second, you know, reminder, if you want a 10 second countdown, if you want it to count down the entire time, and it'll play, and you can record your own voice, like, so you can hear yourself, or, you know, he's gonna drop download packs where you can hear me, like, hey dumbass, you got 10 seconds, don't break a bad shot. So like, you could have one of the JTAC instructors like talking to you in your headset the entire time, you know, coaching you, you know, I can say whatever I want, you know, coaching you through, you know, I could say, like, hey, you know, you got 10 seconds left. Take it easy. You got two good shots left, or, you know, whatever you would want them to say, and it'll play in your headset. And the app is, like I said, it's in beta testing. Clay has the app, and it's working. So hopefully he gets that. It'll be, I think, $19.99 in the App Store. And it, again, you can record your own voice, or you can use generic sounds like Siri, or a British guy or whatever. Or you could, download one of our voices, and have one of us coaches talking to you the entire time. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool apps. Again, it's called the JTAC Shot Timer, I think is what he was gonna call it. So
Pretty nifty.
Or JTAC Match Timer or something like that. But yeah, pretty cool.
So, what are your thoughts on the current trend of painting rifles to personalize and differentiate them?
What?
I don't know.
Just, a unique paint job. Do you think it's important when going to the line?
Is this so funny? Is this a joke?
I
Yes, I do. I think it's super
asked if you
important.
read these.
Yeah, I think it's super important to make sure that you know which rifle is yours so that you don't mistakenly pick up someone else's and have your match go to hell in a handbasket really fast. I know from personal experience.
I was about to say, you sound like you have experience on that.
Yeah, I have experience. Yep. Well, when you have two twin rifles sitting next to each other, and the only difference is the caliber, it's kind of easy to get mixed up. And at that point, I think I was either in first or second, with two stages left, and I cleaned the last stage. So it really came down to that one. And that one cost me 7 or 8 points, I think, because of that. Having to go, to the stage and find out it wasn't my rifle, go find my own rifle, come back and have, 20 something seconds to get, a couple shots off, on an easy clean stage. It was a big mistake for me. Big, but we all have those mistakes, and my
Yeah,
rifle
I
is
will say
obviously
you fixed it.
I
You will
fixed
not
it.
make that mistake again.
Well, you say that.
Yeah,
So
please tell me it
oh
happened
no.
again.
In Raton, so I wrote on every side of the rifle but the top of the cheek piece. So when I come at it from the back of the rifle, it still looks the same as one. And a guy had his set next to mine, and I picked his up again, my ADHD. I picked his rifle up, and I was getting ready to start the stage, and he looks and sees, he went to go dial his dope, and it was Justin Adamson. He went to dial his dope, and he's like, "Where's my rifle at?" And he sees mine sitting there, and he's like, "Where's mine?" He looks over, and I've got a rifle in my hand. He's like, "Hey, that's my rifle." And I was like, "Holy shit, that is your rifle." And as soon as I looked over and saw the custom writing on the side of mine, I was like, "Oh my gosh, you're an idiot. You did this twice." But
Well, for
yeah,
those that don't know, tell
custom.
them what your custom writing says.
It says not Clay's rifle, on the side, because I picked up Clay's rifle, and we had at the time identical rifles. And I picked up his, and the only difference was mine was a 6 Creed and his was a 6 BRA. And yeah, it wasn't going to chamber. If it would have been shooting the same calibers, I wouldn't even have said anything. I just would have shot his rifle, and he wouldn't have cared. And but at that point, like when I realized it was the wrong rifle, I'd already dialed his turrets, and it's said specifically in the rules, like you cannot touch another competitor's turrets, or it's an automatic match DQ. So I'm like, am I disqualified? Can I restart? And Tom Jacobs was like, "No, you can't restart because the timer's already started. We can't start your time over." I'm like, "Well, am I disqualified?" He's like, "I don't know. Like, just go get your rifle and shoot what round you can, and we'll get George up here." And they don't, obviously it wasn't intentional. It wasn't, malfeasance or anything. So they let me continue the match. But yeah, it definitely, was not cool. So
That was funny. So now
yeah.
we need to change the rules to say any intentional changing of perspective.
I mean, by the rules, they could have disqualified me, but George and Brian, they're in the spirit of their match
Yeah.
is if you haven't shot that Hornady match, it's super awesome. And I had the Hornady guys, I was shooting with the Hornady guys in my squad, and they were like, "Hey, let him get a reshoot," and like it was my dumbass fault. It's like, what's that saying? Like, you don't blame people for the road you're on, it's your own ass fault, kind of
Yeah.
deal. Yeah. I don't know if who to blame. Was it me that picked up Clay's rifle or Clay for setting his rifle next to mine? But I'm gonna blame Clay. Yeah.
Don't
I don't
park
know.
next to me anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like a squirrel brain, so you know, like if there was a truck next to mine, I would definitely go get in it that looked like mine.
I mean, so
Honestly, probably didn't even have to be the same color, and I would try to get in it.
I'm also squirrel brain as hell. That's why that looks like that.
Yeah,
Nobody's gonna mistake that. You know, here's the cup.
I'm gonna be real honest with you.
Nice
I could probably mistake that.
cup.
I'm not gonna say that it's 100% at this point. So it's very possible that I could mistake that rifle.
I have faith in you.
Well, I'm gonna do my best.
Do we have any live questions?
I don't know. I wouldn't even know how to read
You had some
those.
raccoons steal some T-1000s?
I did actually.
What?
Yeah, my flashers, like I lost a flasher and I was like, where is this flasher at? And I went to go get it and it was
Yeah.
gone. And I knew that it had gotten knocked off of the target during the match, but when I went out there right after the match was over or the next day, it was gone. And like I looked everywhere, I was like, maybe it got like a bullet, like, you know, obviously a bullet's not gonna knock it off that far. So I'm like walking
Yeah.
around looking and there was raccoon tracks all over the berm.
Yes.
And I was like, surely not. And you know, raccoons like shiny things. And I think
Yeah.
what probably happened is it bumped it and it went off and it was like, oh, I want that. And it took it. And I don't know what it did with it, but I never recovered that. And of course, Magneto Speed being a great company was like, sure, like we'll warranty that. I don't I mean, honestly, we just kind of have to at this point, like we just kind of have to warranty that. Just, I don't know. They did. They sent me a new one. So that was cool of them. They didn't have to, obviously. I don't think theft is, you know, in their warranty policy, but, you know, they did it. And so that was cool. Honestly, they probably just like the story and like making fun of me for getting my
Yeah.
T-1000 stolen. Ryan Hay gives me shit about my T-1000s all the time, having spider webs in them. And he's like, man, if I got to fight Black Widows to like rebuild your T-1000s, and I'm like, well, I just kind of leave them on, forget about them, and they work. I mean, I'll just buy another one.
Ryan said next time a raccoon steals one, in order to get it warranted, he need to provide video evidence.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I would find. Am I supposed to just fly my drone around and look in trees for a raccoon playing with a flasher?
Just put a trail cam on the targets with
Put
the
trail
field
cam on
map.
my targets.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I still have T-1000 on targets, so I haven't had it happen again. So this raccoon is obviously not a repeat offender,
Yeah, he took it back to the woods and went to eat it and decided it wasn't any good.
yeah, probably what happened. Yeah, I don't know. He probably what happened is he, you know, like raccoons wash their food first, so he probably took it down to the pond. It was like, I'm gonna rinse this thing off, and it just died. And he was like, oh,
Oh,
better
no.
leave.
I watched the review videos online. It's the most waterproof of all of them. The water didn't
Is it
kill
really?
it.
Well, he might have dropped it in the pond, then I'm gonna go check the water. So, who knows?
Are we good on the?
I think so.
All right. I think we can wind it down to shout outs. We will start with Corey.
All right. We got WeBet for solid bags, JP Rifles, Federal, Vortex, Planet Ford, Hunter's HD Gold, Thunder Beast Arms, Texas Precision, Proof Research, and Dentsteiger Pro Shop.
All right, Greg, how about you?
Wow, Corey went full influencer tonight.
Yes.
We're gonna go
I told
Pete.
you right before we went on, I was doing something that wasn't it.
We'll say PDC custom for rifle chassis, bright enough that nobody tries to steal my guns. And Hunter's HD gold, so I can see my gun clearly.
I got 4% battery on my phones.
Talk fast.
Do your shout outs since we're winding it down. So what do you got for shout outs?
I mean, shout out to my sponsors, Leupold, Impact, Foundation Stocks, Hawkins, Bartline Barrels, Ace Brakes, really rad stuff. I don't know, I'm probably forgetting one, honestly. WeBad, Clay's Cartridge Company. I got a bunch of them. Go check out my Facebook page. You can see them all. Austin wanted me to plug CRB, Custom Rifle Barrels. That's his new company.
Heck
Obviously, I'm
yeah.
a bar line. I shoot bar line, but that may change in the future. Yeah, Austin, my guy's feelings hurt, but you know, they reached out to me first, so for the year. So I'm shooting a bar line this year, and then we'll switch it up maybe next year so I can support Austin and shoot a CRB. But yeah, Austin is, you know, has bought a company. He's making barrels, and if you want to go check them out, CRB, Custom Rifle Barrels. And he also, you know, makes ace breaks.
They have 25 blanks in stock constantly, right?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know. I know he's cranking out as many as he can crank out. So
Yeah, I think he was doing
I think Michael
25.
heard me say I had 4%. See, this is why I have Michael. If you don't have a Michael McDonald in your life, then I don't know what you're doing. Like, or maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me that doesn't have my life together and I need a Michael McDonald, but like I have to have Michael. Like I'm getting two teeth extracted tomorrow at the dentist. And guess who's taking me? Michael. Because I will be intoxicated and cannot drive and he has to babysit me. So
Michael,
yeah.
if you could just message me about rates for writing on Justin's forehead tomorrow, that'd be great. Thank you.
Or
Oh,
video.
he. Yeah, don't give him any ideas. Last time he took me, I was intoxicated, took me to Sam's Club and just let me walk around. I bought like $800 worth of shit. Like I bought like four boxes of like coffee and I bought like some hot chocolate bombs. I don't even like hot chocolate.
No,
Like
he needs to do like
I bought cup I bought like a semi load of plastic cups. Just bought this
the
random. I was like, Michael, did you not see me just carry random things to the counter with my debit card? You just let me go. He's like, I thought you needed that stuff. I'm like, yeah, I needed 8,000 plastic cups. Yeah. And coffee for the next 4 years. Yeah, I needed that.
brothers did to their sister when she had teeth out and had all the medicine. Where they like recorded something all like off the radio, like that it was a zombie attack happening. Like they had the
Oh,
radio, like and he,
probably I'm probably
she's like
not the
panicking.
one.
She's like, oh my gosh. And they're like, we should go to Costco. And she's like, no, go to Costco. That's the worst place to go in a zombie apocalypse. And then they're like, well, we can only take one animal. Should we take the cat or the dog? And she's like, the dog, the cat's an
I probably wouldn't be the one to pull that kind of prank on. I might get Western pretty fast. I know on April Fool's, which was I guess yesterday,
Yeah.
my son and his mom after baseball practice, you know, yesterday was her day, so she brought him to practice, and you know, I was walking him to her car, and they decided they had like set this prank up they were gonna pull on me, and. So I was talking to her at the passenger window, and my son is next to me, like on his phone, and she says, like, "Hey, go put your stuff in the back of the car." And I kind of look over at him, and he didn't move, like he's just on his phone. And then like she says it a second time, and then he just doesn't say anything. He's just standing there, and I'm like, "Okay, I'm starting to get irritated at this point." Like she's had to say it twice now. And she says it like a third time, and he says something to the effect of like, "Shut up, mom. I'm doing this game or something." And like, before they could stop me, I had already struck this child. I already backhanded this child in the chest, and they're like, "No, it's a prank. It's a prank." Like, bro, you're standing entirely too close for that kind of prank. Like, don't, man. My heart, like I was like pounding. I went from 0 to 100. I thought my son had just told his mom to shut up, like for real. And it was too late. He was standing entirely too close. It was too late. He already got backhanded. And they're like, "No, it's a joke. It's a prank. It's April Fool's." So I was like, "Boy, don't. You just almost died right there. He's almost lost your life over April Fool's joke. We'll do that."
That's terrible. Yeah, you gotta watch who you're pranking.
Yeah, man. Gosh, dang.
Can be rough.
Yeah. I will
All
not let my children talk to people like that.
Yeah, me either. I like
Yeah.
the only reason
I
I
was
even
like,
like my kids is because I could beat them because I'm I
I
was
guess this was like some, they were, it was some something they had saw on TikTok. I don't know. I don't TikTok, but they saw it where like they were getting dad's reactions to like the kids talking back to the mom or whatever. And
It's a horrible
I was
idea.
like, I know. So I was like, if you're gonna do it, like you should be not within arm's reach of me. Like that should have been like pre-planned. And I guess he had told his mom, like, Mom, I don't know if this is a good idea. Like, are you gonna defend me? She's like, No, I'll defend you. And but he didn't plan the whole like, reach thing very well. Because yeah, he caught these hands pretty quick. So
That is funny.
yeah. Yeah, joke's on
Well,
them.
I know, for real. Well, for my shout outs, I just want to thank you for spending a couple of hours of your Tuesday night with us here on the show, talking about all of your good things you got going on. And I think with that, it's going to be a wrap for episode 438.
Yeah. I shared a post earlier about like, you decided to do an episode of podcast with your friend and ended up, and it shows like the guy's getting walked out by the FBI and I'm like, man, I'm probably gonna go to jail after this. I've talked about child abuse, and he asked me about some questionable things with my drone. Like, whatever.
No rests for this.
I'd be a shot caller in prison, so it'd be good.
It's not that kind of podcast. So, all
Yeah.
right, and we'll see everybody next week.